This is the evening sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
I'm not sure what's happening exactly with the music today. It's sort of interesting to me. May the mind of Christ my Savior is the Wheaton College hymn. So when I was at Wheaton College, we sang that hymn many times in chapel. And so that's a great hymn to sing. And then All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name is Dallas Seminary's hymn. And especially the Diadem, the version, the first we sang this morning. And it's amazing when you sing that in a chapel a little bit larger than this building, filled with men, and you hear the voices. It's something you never quite forget. And then this evening, Matthew chose to change the tune, and that's the tune that at Central Bible Church every Sunday night we would go on the air. And I always remember that there was a radio room off to the side, and there's a red light that would go on to indicate that we're now on the air. But we went on the air as a church singing the first verse of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, the first version of that. So a great deal of singing, a lot of history for me, I guess. I don't know, but it's a rather interesting. Those are great songs to sing. And by the way, the singing of the hymns and the singing of truth, we're eventually, I think we're going to get another hymnal that has additional hymns in it, and because there are many really wonderful hymns for us to sing, and we love the hymns that we have in our hymnal, and we're going to keep using that hymnal, and using another hymnal as well that just expands the number of hymns and spiritual songs that we can sing. So that is coming soon, but they're great hymns. There are thousands of hymns that have been written, and only the ones that are used over and over again survive. It's sort of interesting. The use of the church is what distinguishes the hymns, and the ones that are sound in theology and sound in the way in which they communicate the truth of God's word are the ones that remain. And the hymns are not inspired of God. They are really like small sermons. And sometimes you can read something in a hymn that is not quite right, and you just sort of smile a little bit at that. But for the most part, it's a wonderful thing. And I appreciate Matthew singing hymns that emphasize some of the things. Sometimes when the service is over and we sing a hymn, we sing the truth of what has been preached. It's really an encouraging thing. But let us turn in our Bibles to the book of James. Christian life is a life of faith. It is also a life of action. On one hand, we depend upon God for that which only He can do. The Christian life is a life that only He can give us the victory. And on the other hand, we actively pursue His truth. Sometimes we speak about this as God's sovereignty, God accomplishing His purposes in His people by His sovereign decree, and our responsibility. And we look at those man's responsibility and God's sovereignty as not opposing truth, but as truths which really harmonize in the mystery of God and His goodness to us. And they're both true in Christian living and Christian ministry. When the Lord reveals our union in Him, we understand His presence in us to be the source of our life, our power, our spiritual existence. We live because He lives. And we derive all that is necessary for life and godliness in Him, from Him, through Him, and ultimately to His glory. And then we pursue life and ministry depending upon the Lord, but it is a pursuit. A while back, there was a movement that was in the church, which was a movement where the slogan for that movement was let go and let God. And the idea is that we try to do things and we're trying to do things and it's like stop doing. Just let go and let God. There's a sense in which that's true. We sing about that sometimes when we say, put away my sins and let God direct my life. But let go and let God doesn't really emphasize the pursuit of the Christian life. We're to read our Bibles, we're to pray, we're to obey, we're to walk, we're to serve, we're to actively live out the life of faith. And often this living out our life of faith is perplexing. We understand that God is in control. We know that God is at work in our lives. We know that we are responsible to depend upon Him and to walk in obedience to Him. But we oftentimes don't know what God is doing in our lives, other than the big picture of we know He's leading us to glory because that's what He's promised. So sometimes we are just perplexed. And when that happens, God tells us in Scripture to ask Him for wisdom. And even in the face of persecution, we're to ask for wisdom. In the face of confusion, we are to ask for wisdom. And God promises to provide. He knows His divine purpose. He knows our pathway. He knows the work that He's accomplishing in us and through us. And so He promises that He will give us wisdom. And I would like to look at this wisdom that God gives to us. And I know that James is a book that speaks of wisdom in the context of trials. So I'm going to look here and then I'm going to look at Proverbs just briefly. But I think it's good to say, well, what is wisdom? And it's interesting, I was listening to a radio broadcast, and I was listening to wisdom, and you know how when you're listening to something and you expect someone to say it in a particular way? And this person was speaking and says, wisdom is the skill of applying truth. And I thought he was going to say, wisdom is the skill of applying truth to life. It's sort of applying that. I always think of you have knowledge and then you have wisdom, and wisdom is the taking of the knowledge and applying truth to life. So as I was saying in my mind, as wisdom applying truth, I thought to life, and he didn't say life, he said applying truth to wisdom, to knowledge. Wisdom is the skill of applying truth to knowledge. Now that's an interesting way of thinking about it, but it's really true. Wisdom is first of all based upon knowledge. And a lot of times people say, well, it's just wisdom is the application part, but you can't apply what you don't know. And furthermore, wisdom amounts to really knowing the truth. The starting point of wisdom is the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And the starting point for the knowledge of God is wisdom, because you fear God, therefore you hear His truth. You hear what He has to say, the knowledge, the truth. And so you can say, well, this is right and this is wrong. This is good, this is bad. This is true, this is false, because I have the wisdom to know God's truth, to know His truth. It's the application of truth to knowledge. And then wisdom also includes the application of truth to life, because you really can't separate what you know from how you live. That's a false dichotomy. And someone says, well, I know all the truth, but my life is not being lived. I said, well, that can be temporarily a symptom of sinfulness, but what you know is how you live. What you know in God and what you know in Christ is then translated into how you conduct your life. And that's a challenge. That's a part of wisdom as well. So I'm not saying wisdom is not the application of truth to life, but I'm saying that the wisdom, first of all, involves discernment. Discernment of truth. And that's why you can say to a child, you need to be wise. And when you say you need to be wise, the first thing you mean by that, you need to be wise in knowing what is good and bad. knowing what is right and wrong. You need to be wise with your own life. And then you're saying, and you need to not only be wise, but you need to walk in wisdom. Both of those are true. And when you think about wisdom, there's several aspects of that, and then I'm going to go to this James passage, but there's several aspects of wisdom, and the first aspect of wisdom is that the source of wisdom is God. That's very clearly revealed. I mean, it's the source of wisdom is God, and God reveals wisdom in His Word. He reveals His Word to us that we may know truth, that we may have knowledge. And so God is the source of all wisdom, and God has revealed His wisdom in His Word. But there's a hindrance. Because when God is a source of wisdom and He reveals the truth, if that's all He did was just reveal the truth, no one would ever understand, because our hearts are contrary to God and who is truth. The natural man does not even understand, doesn't get it. And as Christians, we are new in our nature, but the remnant of that old nature, the principle of that old nature remains, and there's still a hardness of heart that can be in us. So there's a problem. But then there's also the provision of the Holy Spirit. And He becomes our teacher and guides us in the truth. And He's the one who gives us the skill to apply truth to knowledge, to know the truth and to have this provision and wealth of truth in our own hearts and lives. You know, when you hear someone, sometimes you can listen to the radio, just click the radio on, you hear someone speaking, and they say something, and you go, that's wrong. They're speaking about the Lord, or they may be speaking up a particular text of Scripture, and they say something, and you say in your own heart, no, that's not true. The reason why you say that is because you're wise. The reason why you say that is because you have discernment. Where did you get that discernment from? Well, you didn't get it from you. Discernment is, the truth is from God. He reveals it in His Word. The Holy Spirit teaches it to our hearts. And we have this knowledge and a discernment with reference to the knowledge, and then the Holy Spirit encourages us to live according to that truth. All of that is a challenge. It's the challenge of the Christian life. Well, that brings us to the book of James. And what I've just said to you about wisdom, I hope you will see in these two passages which speak of wisdom. James first gives the big picture. James is writing to believers. He's writing to believers who are facing difficulties and trials. And he begins by just addressing the big picture. And if you look at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, you get to this, the big picture of what God is doing. He introduces Himself. He introduces those, the 12 tribes which are scattered. These are Christians, Jewish Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing. You count it joy because you know. What do you know? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith does not produce destruction. The testing of your faith always produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, God is at work. God is at work in persecution. And God is at work in the afflictions of life. God is at work in the blessings of life. God is always at work in us. God is always at work in us on the pathway of life. Sometimes that pathway is difficult. It says, here's the big picture. You can count it all joy. Not that you're to count it all joy that you're facing affliction. There's nothing joyful about affliction or persecution. But you count it joy that this is the testing of your faith, that the approving of your faith, the testing with the purpose to approve, the testing of your faith to affirm your faith, producing patience, and patience, let it have its perfect work. You be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God is at work. God is perfecting. He could have said at this point, amen. It'd be the shortest epistle. It'd be complete, but short. But having said this, we walk on the pathway. And it is perplexing. So in verses 5 through 8, and these are the verses that I said I was going to focus on, and I want you to look at these verses, because it says, okay, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He says, here you are in the face of all this persecution. You know what God is doing. He's perfecting you. He's affirming you in the face of all of this. Fiery trial can be the affirmation of your faith. It has to be, because that's where he's taking us. He's taking us to glory. He's going to perfect us. He's promised that which he has begun, he will perfect in us. He will complete. God always finishes what he started. But the perplexing thing is, we say, well, what? I need wisdom. I don't know if you've ever gone through difficulties. I know you've all have gone through difficulties in your life, because the Christian life is all about difficulties. And if you go through difficulties in your life, one of the things that cries out in your own heart is, I need wisdom. I need help. First you say, well, Lord, help me. That's a great prayer. It's the shortest prayer, but it's a great prayer. Lord, I need help. Help me. And then you say, well, God is at work in me. God is perfecting me. I count it all joyful, because he's producing patience, that patience had a perfect result of me, perfect in Christ. He's at work. I know he's at work. But I need wisdom. And at this point, it says, well, you go and ask God. And you ask God. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And ask in faith. Ask believing. Believing what? Well, believing in him and believing in his word. And you ask believing in him and believing in his word. Because the wisdom that he gives through his word. But he is the one who gives. He is the source of wisdom. He is the giver of all wisdom. And when you ask him, it's like a joyful thing to God when you ask him for wisdom, because he gives liberally. He gives wisdom. That's what he does. He's the source of wisdom. He's the source of truth. He gives wisdom and truth. And one of the reasons he brings us to difficulty is so we get down on our knees and we say, I need help. And I need your wisdom. I need your truth. And the kind of wisdom usually that we want is for the Lord to give an explanation of what's happening to us in the specific situation we're in. And for the Lord to say, well, now the reason why you're going through this, and the reason why this is happening, and the reason why you are waiting on this, and the reason why this is happening, and all the things that he's doing, is because here is what I am doing. Now, I kind of like that notion of wisdom, and it would be very nice. And then we say, okay, I know what the Lord is doing. He's doing this in me. But we don't have that. And if you look at this passage, it almost, and these opening chapters are rather interesting, because it's almost as if it jumps around. If you don't understand what James is doing as he writes. Because he says God gives wisdom, and he gives it as we trust in him and as we ask in faith. And now James says, here's some wisdom. Here's some wisdom for you as you are facing persecution. And so he says some rather interesting things. And if you, I encourage you to read James chapter 1, 2, and read the whole thing. But it's the grouping of wisdom and pearls of truth for individuals who are facing persecution, that you may say, I have the knowledge, I'm understanding God's truth. I don't understand why God is doing what he's doing, but he gives me the parameters of his truth that I need to understand. Even starting out by saying, You can be joyful in the face of trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You say, okay, that's truth that I can lay hold of. But having said, ask the Lord and ask in faith, he then says, starts with these verses 9 through 11, talks about exaltation and humiliation. Why is he talking about exaltation and humiliation? But it's almost as if he says, okay, I've said what I've said about wisdom, now I'm going to talk about something else, but he's not talking about something else. He's saying on the pathway of life, in the pathway of this persecution that you're facing, here is some wisdom. You pray for wisdom, I'll give you some wisdom. Here is the wisdom that God gives to you, as James is writing this on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he says, here's some wisdom. You need to understand that on this pathway, there is God's principles of humiliation and exaltation. You need to understand that as well. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, let the rich in his humiliation, because the flower of the field, he will pass away. As soon as the sun risen with a burning heat, that it withers the grass, the flower falls off, and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man will fade in his pursuits. There is the God who humbles the proud and gives grace to the humble, and he's going to speak about that later on in this passage as well. But he says, God is, you need to see these principles of God humbling us and exalting according to what he's doing, and there's no exaltation in this life that is permanent. It doesn't last. Then he talks about temptation, verses 12 through 15. I'm not going to read through all these passages, but I'm just saying he addresses the subject of temptation, because in the face of persecution, there's temptation. There can be temptation to doubt the Lord. There can be temptation to go in another direction. There's the temptation to walk off the pathway. There can be temptations. And so he says, let me give you some advice about temptations. It's temptation is not, you know, God has laid the pathway out before you, but the temptation does not find its root in God's heart. It doesn't come from him. But the temptation comes from your own heart. And then he talks about God being the source, verses 16 through 18, the source of every good and perfect gift. Because there's a temptation when you're going through persecution to say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? And it may be that God is humbling the proud. It may be that God is exalting the humble. We don't know, but it may be that principle. But it's not a place, it's not a time for you to shake your fist into God's face and say, you know, what is happening? And why are you doing this to me? And why are you tempting me with all these things that are taking place? Every good and perfect gift comes from him. He's giving wisdom. He's giving truth. So I know that every good and perfect gift comes down from God and from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow. He doesn't change. His disposition doesn't change. I know that. That's truth. And so I have that truth, and I have that truth that the Lord gives us, and I have it by faith because I'm asking for wisdom, and the Lord gives wisdom. He gives wisdom about exaltation and humiliation. He gives truth about temptation. He gives truth about good and perfect gifts. Then he cautions in verses 19 and 20 about wrath. Men, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So there's warnings. Then he goes on to say, be hearers of the word and doers of the word. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, talks about partiality. And then he goes and speaks of faith and works. Faith is never separated from works. And then he talks about the sin of the tongue in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And then look, he comes back to wisdom again in verses chapter 3, verses 13. Let me read this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct. This is wisdom now, wisdom in action. Let him show by his conduct his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual, demonic. What is he talking about? Demonic wisdom. Well, Satan has his own knowledge, And Satan, in the face of persecution, would have us grasp onto his knowledge, the knowledge of this world and the ways of this world. And Satan has his own knowledge, which also has its own application. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly and sensual and demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist. Confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, you look at this and you say, James, I got a question for you. I thought we were talking about persecution. I thought we were talking about consider it all joy when you face various trials. This is really a truth lesson. You go from one truth to the next truth to the next truth to the next truth, where he's encouraging individuals in the truth. And that is so important to understand, because wisdom is, first of all, the clear understanding of God's truth and the clear understanding of God's word. And what we need on the pathway of life is to have God's truth taught to our hearts, so that we look at the pathway in light of the wisdom we have from the Word of God and the wisdom that we have from God. Because this wisdom that we have from God is contrary to the pathway, because we'll face things on the pathway which will shout and scream at us things other than the truth. It'll scream the sensual, earthly wisdom of this world. But the Word of God says, as you walk on the pathway, the first thing you have to have is the discernment of what is true, what is false, what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. And you get that from the knowledge of God. That's one of the things that we are continually doing in preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God here at Hillcrest Bible Church. And one of the reasons why we have a ministry that is a preaching, teaching ministry. Because it is good for us to come and hear the Word of God. And to have the Word of God, I hope, as you come here and you hear the Word of God, that I never teach you anything new, but I hope that what I teach you is to reinforce the truth of God's Word in your heart. And you hear it, and you're hearing it, and you hear the truth, and you hear the truth, and you say, I know the truth. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. I know what is good, and I know what is bad, not because I go to church, but because God has taught me from His Word the truth. And I know that truth. Because the walking in this life is a difficult walk. The Christian life is not an easy life. It's living by God's truth in this fallen world. If the Lord asked me, I would say, that's never going to work. You're never going to be able to sanctify your people living in this fallen, broken, ugly, awful world. If you're going to sanctify your people, you need to take them somewhere else. There's too many temptations. There's too many trials. There's too many difficulties. There's too many problems. There's just too much of this. It'll never happen. And the Lord says, it's going to happen every time. But what I want is I want my people to have my wisdom in their hearts and lives. I want my people to have my word in their hearts, that they might not sin, that they'd walk on the pathway, that they would know the light of the pathway and know what to do, what not to do. It is the Word of God that gives them that. That's a part of wisdom, the knowledge part of wisdom. Never forget the knowledge part of wisdom. But also never forget that wisdom is how you walk. But we have to walk. The pathway is ever before us in this life. You know, the pathway is not something we look at, it's something we walk on. And we're continually walking. The progression of life that God is taking us from our fallen, sinful self to be saved by grace on this pathway that leads to glory. So it's always a pathway, and we're always on it. And so he says it's the application, it's the taking of that truth. Well, that's sort of the big picture in the request, but if you want to have, look at Proverbs chapter 2. Let me make another recommendation to you about the book of Proverbs. Because really, if you read Proverbs chapter 2, this is the middle of a section that goes from Proverbs chapter 2 through Proverbs chapter 9. It ought to be read at one sitting. I encourage you to read that. But read it thinking about wisdom is about knowledge too. It's not just about getting these principles, but it's getting God's truth and applying them to life. But here in Proverbs chapter 2, this is the section where Solomon is speaking to his son. And this is the pursuit of wisdom. Now, this probably emphasizes more the pursuit of wisdom, meaning I need to know what is right and wrong. I need to know the knowledge of it. Because he gives tons of knowledge in the book of Proverbs. But I also need to know how to live it. And it's interesting in Proverbs, chapters 1 through 9, there are two voices. There's two women in here that are speaking. One is the adulterous woman, and the other is the wisdom, the wise, crying out. Wisdom calls. And it's a wonderful picture of here you're living your life and you got these two calling individuals calling to you. One calling with the wisdom of this world, one calling with the wisdom of God. And Solomon is saying, listen to the wisdom of God. Listen to the wisdom of God. You're going to hear both voices. Listen. Look at verse 20 of chapter 1. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out on the chief concourse. At the opening of the gate, she speaks her words. You turn to later on, you're going to have another voice of wisdom, false truth, crying out. But notice this statement in chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 1 through 9. Let me just read it first. My son, if you receive my commands, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernments and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. And notice, let me just stop there. These are all if statements. These are statements about if you do this, if you pursue this. And the first of these statements is a statement that's really the, shows in verses 1 and 2, really the determination to find wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. This is the determination. I am going to get my wisdom from God. And then in verse 3, it's the cry for wisdom. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And then in verse 4, it's like the treasure hunt for wisdom. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. And verse 5 is then and the consequences of the search. What do you get when you are determined to find the wisdom of God? What do you get when you cry out for wisdom from God? What do you get when you say, this is the treasure. This is what I need in my life. He says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will understand the fear of the Lord. And you will find the knowledge of God. I was walking the other day through a park, and I looked ahead and I saw a mother with her three little kids. And they were playing on a swing set or something like that. And as I got closer, they started moving to another place. And one of the little kids, and he must have been about somewhere between 2 and 3. He was pretty small. Took off running. Just And I, at that time, I caught up to where she was, and I said to her, "Oh, you have a runner," because he took off. And she called to him. He never acknowledged her at all, just kept running. So I looked at her again, and I said, "You know, and that there's a long field, and then there's a creek beyond the field, and this little guy was gone. He was going. The more she called, the faster he ran. It wasn't that fast, but he was moving." So then the mother sort of caught, because she didn't know who I am, and here I am, this stranger walking through a park, and fortunately I had my dog with me, so that makes me look a little more friendly, but anyway, here I'm walking through the park, and she has two kids, and now she's caught between the two kids that are doing something and the runner. So she calls to the two kids. She says, "Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on," and she takes off running. And she runs all the way after this little one, and finally she grabs him. You know, it was 100 yards. It was a good distance before she finally caught up with him, and he was still going, you know, and she grabbed him by the arm, and he was still running, but just running in place, you know, like that, you know, but, you know, finally she got him to slow down. But that little boy doesn't understand wisdom. Because wisdom is calling to him. It's a dangerous world out there. I mean, there are dangers where he was running in that direction. There were certain dangers for him. He's unaware. He's just said, "I'm out of here." I don't know what he was thinking, but it was over the hill, whatever he was thinking, because he was going and he wasn't stopping. But he's running and he's not listening. And wisdom is crying out to him, and he's running. So wisdom turns and cries out to the other two kids, and she says, "Come, let's go." And they go, because they're listening to this source of wisdom in terms of raising children, but they listen to the wisdom, and all three of them eventually are off running, chasing the runner. But he has no ear for wisdom. He's not hearing. So what happens to him? Well, he's running into trouble. And I would say, if this little boy doesn't learn to hear and respond to the mom, who has much more wisdom than he has, he's in trouble. He's in serious trouble. And the writer is, Solomon is writing, and he is saying, wisdom cries out in God's word to you. Wisdom cries out from God to you. And it should be your determination to know the truth, and to cry out to God to teach that truth to you, and to view it as treasure. And when that happens, you will understand the fear of the Lord. That little boy that was running had no fear. He had no fear of mom. He had no fear of what was out there. No fear. When you hear and you listen, it's because you fear what happens if you don't obey. You fear what you don't know, and you know that it's wiser to listen to the mom who says, "Come here," than to keep running and fall into a creek, or keep running and run into a car, or keep running and have run into a problem. And you just keep running, you eventually will run into trouble. But wisdom says, I need God's wisdom to walk in this life. I really need God's wisdom. Not him explaining to me what he's doing. He's already told me what he's doing. He's taking me to glory. So I don't need to know what every step in this pathway to glory is. And when God says, you know, why is this happening in my life? Why does this happen to me? Why is this taking place? We always want to know, what is the Lord doing in me? He says, listen to his voice. You need to understand the fear of the Lord, and you need to understand, as it says here, what you will find is the knowledge of God. That's what we need. So I don't know what the Lord is doing in my life. I don't know what the Lord is doing in your life. I know the big picture of what he's doing, but I don't know the immediate pathway of what he is doing in your life. But this one thing I know. On the pathway of life, we must be determined to hear the wisdom of God and determined to know the knowledge of God, because that's what God is teaching us. I know that's what he's teaching us on the pathway of life. And notice what he says in this as he continues in verses 6 through 9. For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You want to know what is right? You want to know, want to understand? You want to have an understanding of truth? You want to know what's good for you, what's bad? You want to know what's right and wrong, what's true and false? The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. You'll notice here it's the Lord gives wisdom. What else does the Lord give in this passage? He gives protection. The Lord gives not just wisdom and then lets us go. He gives wisdom and protects us in the pathway. That's a wonderful, he's a shield. He guards, he preserves. You'll understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. So I look at this and I say, you know, what we need in our hearts is to know the truth. And we live in a postmodern age where truth is set aside. And truth really doesn't matter. We can't really know anything, according to postmodernism. We as Christians don't believe that, and we say, no, I don't live in a post... Well, I live in a postmodern world, but I live in a postmodern world with the wisdom of God. His truth. And I set my heart to know the truth of God, as you do. To know God's truth. I want to know Him. And you know, not only as you study God's Word and as you study the truth of God's Word, then you come to the knowledge of Him. And you know Him and what He does. That He's the giver of wisdom. He's going to give you wisdom on the pathway of life. And He may not explain everything that's going to happen. He could have talked to all of the disciples and He could have said to them, you're all going to give your life for the gospel message. He didn't say that to them, but that's what the pathway was. If tradition is correct, all of them save John were martyrs for the faith. They suffered. He could have said to them, you are going to go. This is the pathway. You're walking on a pathway. You are going to die on this pathway because someone's going to take your life as they're going to take mine. He doesn't say that to them. He tells them how to be wise on the pathway and to walk in wisdom and to walk in truth that they may know God on the pathway. Not what the pathway is going to be, which we want to know, or we think we want to know, but the knowledge of God. So be encouraged as you look at your life and say, you know, I need wisdom. God is a God who loves to hear that prayer. I need wisdom. God says, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you a lot of wisdom. And I need to know how to know the truth and know what is right and wrong. And I also need to know how to live the truth. God teaches us both. And wisdom encompasses all of that. So be wise. But get your wisdom from God and cry out to Him. He's the source of wisdom. He is the source of truth for the pathway of life. And we recognize that God is a God who indwells us and a God who accomplishes His purposes in us. And God is at work and He's a sovereign God. He's sovereignly accomplishing all of His purposes in our hearts and lives. But He also says, I want you to pursue this. And I want you to pursue wisdom. I want you to pursue truth. I want you to pursue knowledge. I want you to pursue life. And God says, I'll guide you and I'll protect you. It's His promise. So we're encouraged when we know the Lord. We're encouraged when we know His truth. And may God encourage your heart as you walk on the pathway this week, day by day, one day after another. And as you walk along, be confident in the truth of God and confident in living according to that truth. May God help us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're the God of truth. We're thankful that You're the God of wisdom. And we're thankful that You give us wisdom for life. You give us the truth that we need to understand, and You show us how it is You want us to live. Lord, we pray that You would direct our hearts and lives. Oftentimes, we want to know the pathway. We want to know what is next. We want to know what lies ahead. We want to know what You're doing. We're not given this information. We're not given this truth. But instead, You give us wisdom to walk with You, to know You. and for you to accomplish your purposes in us. So we thank you for the wisdom that you give. Pray that you'll grant us wisdom this week as we live for you. Strengthen our hearts to know you. Strengthen our hearts to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.